T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome. Final hour of the Bill Michaels Show. Got Brewers coming up tonight. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Game two of that four-game series on tap tonight for the Brewers. Man, I'll tell you what. Yulis Chacin on the hill. I hope tonight, going up against Chris Archer has pitched well in the past, but he has not pitched well lately. 1-5 with a 5.75 ERA going up against Yulis Chacin, who is 3-6 with a 4.88 ERA. So hopefully tonight is the start of Chacin getting off to Schneid and on to bigger and better things as we start to turn the calendar into the month of June after this evening. So anyway, so you got that going on tonight, and over the weekend you're going to have the Brewers with the Pirates as well. And in the meantime, you've got the OTAs and the mini camps rolling on, and the Packers continue on until the mid portion of June, and then they're off until training camp. Going to talk with Mike Clemens coming up here momentarily. Mike with NFL Sirius Radio. He's our Green and Gold Insider. He'll be joining us here in studio in just a couple of minutes. This portion of the program, by the way, is brought to you by our terrific friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better. I keep reminding you to go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. That's cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. And you could be one of 11 winners to win an unbelievable experience at Summerfest and the American Family Insurance Amphitheater, because they're giving away a VIP package, one per night. So if you want to win a couple of tickets to the concert, parking pass, gift cards, a whole lot more, the only way to do it is by register. You can register daily, by the way. Go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. That's cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. And you can check all of that out for yourself. So that's our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Coming up tomorrow, by the way, for the Brewers, Brandon Woodruff goes to the hill. Nick Kingham is going to be on the hill. That guy's 1-1, but got an 8.28 ERA. He gives up runs as well. So Woodruff takes to the hill with that 7-1 record tomorrow. And then the Brewers with Gio Gonzalez, he goes to the hill for the crew. Coming up on Sunday, that's against Jordan Lyles. That should be a good pitching matchup. Gonzalez 2-1 with that 3.19 ERA, and Jordan Lyles probably the best opportunity for the Pittsburgh Pirates to win. But then again, every time you expect a really good pitcher's duel, it never really works out that way, because Jordan Lyles 5-2 with a 3.09 ERA usually end up with both guys just getting hammered. But we'll find out. I mean, hopefully the Brewers get 3 out of 4 in this one. They then really pour on the gas against the Miami Marlins after the fact, and then you've got Pittsburgh again coming back to Miller Park. And if they can get a couple more wins out of that, and meanwhile, you've got tonight, you've got the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. They kick off that three-game series. Miles Michaelis on the hill tonight for St. Louis. Yu Darvish going to the hill for the Cubs. And that's all, by the way, that's on the road. That's in St. Louis for the Cubs. So as much as I can't stand both of them, you're hoping that the Cardinals come out victorious, because you want to see the Brewers catch the Cubs and overtake them for the top spot in the National League Central. And then you don't care. You just let them battle it out between each other and just continue to, you know, kind of put distance between one or the other and then see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. Because after that, the Cubs, and I had mentioned this before, because when you go to their schedule, the Cubs, they got 3 against the Cardinals this weekend. Then after that, they've got that really weird, I think it was a rainout game. I might be mistaken, but they have a makeup game on Monday. They are at home, a makeup game on Monday against the Angels. Then they've got 3 against the Rockies at Wrigley before they then have 3 against the Cardinals at Wrigley. And then they go on a tough road trip, because then they've got 3 against Colorado out there. and then four against the Dodgers before they finally come back home, and they have the inner city rivalry with the Chicago White Sox. So, and then their schedule eases up a little bit because then they get the Mets, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, the White Sox again on the road. So their schedule gets a little bit easier. But anyway, you kind of get the sense that right now, if you're going to make some hay, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, now is the time to do it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Like I said, we're going to be talking with Mike Clemens coming up here in just a short bit. As Mike has been going to the OTAs and mini camps, and we're going to talk with him about what he has seen. Because, you know, we were sitting here talking about it earlier, eyes to keep on the prize, so to speak. And who may or may not be ready for that breakout season. You know, I look at a couple of different guys. A couple of guys that I'm looking at specifically. I'm looking at Geronimo Allison coming back from injury. I'm looking at Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm also looking Jamon Moore. This is either going to be the bust out year for him, or it's going to be the year that he just falls by the wayside and we never hear from him again. Because we know Equanimeous St. Brown, he's a possession guy, big arms, big hands. He's more of a guy that when you need that third down conversion, he's a guy that can go across the middle. So in that realm, those are some of the things that kind of I'm looking for. Defensively speaking, you know, come on. I think you're looking for Rashawn Gary to really be a good rotational piece on the Packers defensive line. The guy that I'm circling, we all want Jair Alexander to be healthy and to have a really solid second year. But Kevin King, if Kevin King can stay healthy, then I really believe Kevin King is going to solidify that secondary, and the secondary is going to be fantastic. With Adrian Amos roaming there at free safety, you can mix in guys like Darnell Savage Jr., Josh Jones. You can mix those guys in, Tremont Williams, even if you had to, at a safety position. Josh Jackson, they've got a whole plethora of guys with good speed, mediocre, medium size, but they're a team that has gotten a lot faster. I mean, a lot faster. That's kind of where I'm looking for breakout guys. Also, when you're speaking of breakout players this year for the Packers, you're really looking for a couple of guys. You're looking for a guy to take the second year in Oren Burks, to take that step forward. Dean Lowry, the fourth-round draft choice of 2016. Kyler Fackrell, the third-round draft choice in 2016. Both of those guys, you got to find something in them, right? So you're looking for that. Can one of these undrafted guys, because every year you always find a guy that comes in and just lights it up. And we'll talk with Mike about that coming up here momentarily as well. But there's a few players there that you're thinking to yourself, okay, who is going to be able to kind of step up and take that position? Don't forget a guy like Tremont Williams. Tremont Williams was an undrafted guy. And he's had a hell of a playing career. So there's quite a few guys that I think if you look at, you say, okay, who's going to have that bust-out season? I'm kind of anxious to circle some of those names. Hey, I mentioned this before. I want to mention it again. We have our motorcycle ride coming up. Our 12th annual, and I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about this before we bring Mike in. Our 12th annual Big Units Motorcycle Ride benefiting Fisher House, Wisconsin, and presented by Bud Light. It is coming up on Sunday, September 1st. Sunday, September 1st. You can find it. All you got to do is go into the top search bar of Facebook and just type in Big Unit. You'll see Big Units Poker Ride. Click on it. It's an event. It's a September 1st, 10 a.m. right there. You click on it, and there's the page. If you would go there and share it, if you would go there and like it, click maybe, whatever. Right now, there's well over 260 people that are interested. We've got 45 people that are locked in that are going, and these are people that I know come with us each and every year. We've got, and it doesn't matter what kind of bike you ride, by the way. And so some people ask me that as well, because we've got a couple of clubs, Indian motorcycle clubs that are interested in coming. And I saw a few of them over there at Wednesday Night Live on Wednesday night, and they said, hey, it's okay, right? Absolutely. So I said, man, hey, if you're looking for a great ride, this is it, because it benefits the Fisher House, Wisconsin. It's a program, a unique private-public partnership that supports America's military in their time of need. It recognizes the special sacrifices of our men and women in uniform, as well as the hardships of military service and service members and their families. It offers shelter and support during a medical crisis. Located on the grounds of the VA, you and your funds helped build it. The VA helps run it. but they run it to our standards, and it is a beautiful place, and it facilitates and comforts kind of a home away from home. While a loved one is getting treatment at the VA, the family can stay there rent-free. We just want to take care of the family members and the and everybody over there. So if you can come out and help us out for this tremendous cause, please do so. And we got to thank some of our terrific sponsors that are making it great again this year. A lot of great people. Jeff and his wife, Alicia, at Stoley's Hog Alley. Go to hogalley.com, stoleyshogalley.com, to see what they have to offer. Great fish fry tonight out there in Oconomowoc. Stop in. You can see it just north of 94. It's right there in Oconomowoc by the lake. Stop over there and tell them we said hi. Also, Sean and the whole gang over there at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, epoxyflooringdoneright.com. They are going to sit down with you, discuss all your flooring project needs. They point you in the right direction, such as sealing concrete or grinding or polishing, whatever it happens to be. They get, when it's time to do it, they give you a detailed quote for all the services and guarantee the job, sometimes up to 25 years. And they're cheaper. I shouldn't say cheap, but they're cheaper than some of the other companies coming into town. And there's a lot of companies, by the way, that are coming in from Chicago and Illinois that if you have a problem with them, you got to go there to fight them. As opposed to those that are born and bred right here in the state of Wisconsin. So keep that in mind. Go to Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Also, our friends at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, Craig and Robert and Diane and Jody in the Motor Clothes Department, everybody out there, they're fantastic people. And also, don't forget about our great friends over there at TheFourSeasonsWI.com, the Four Seasons Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. It is a really, really cool getaway. If you want to do a one-tank trip in the state, it's up north in Pembine, Wisconsin, and it's getting ready for a grand reopening. They've renovated it. It's beautiful. Again, go to TheFourSeasonsWI.com, TheFourSeasonsWI.com, and make sure you tell them we sent you. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. He's been at the camps. We're going to pick his brain. Going to talk some Packers football in the last hour of the program. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I mean, his system, it works. It's worked in L.A., it worked in Washington, it worked in Atlanta, works in San Fran. We saw that last year against us. So, and the league, you know, it's a copycat league. There's a lot of the same concepts. It just comes down to matching that up terminology-wise and trying to figure out what I'm doing first so I can, you know, start to help the other guys.
Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. I'm Bill Michaels. You want to follow us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can always track us down via the radio.com app. Just download that on any mobile device you have. And you can take the show everywhere. By the way, I want to remind you, even though we're talking some Packers, shop Milwaukee Bucks Pro Shop at the Fiserv Forum for the latest Bucks merchandise. You can go to shop.bucks.com. That's shop.bucks.com. And don't forget, head down to the Deer District just to check it out. They've got outdoor movies this year. They're going to have fitness classes out there this year. They're going to have a little bit of an acoustic jam going on some Wednesday nights down there in the Deer Garden. So a lot happening down there near the Fiserv Forum. They have really turned that thing around into a really nice plaza and a destinational event. So stop down and check it out. Also, if you're looking for Bucks tickets, go to bucks.com for all the details, for all the 2019-2020 season tickets. It's all available right now. Simply by going to Bucks.com for everything that they have to offer. As Aaron Rodgers said, the system works, but the system is going to be spewed upon via a golf cart. In case you're just tuning in, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, playing a game of knockout in the gym that they have. The full court gym, the basketball complex, inside Lambeau Field, tore his Achilles. And Pat McKenzie is going to repair it come Sunday, which means surgery, and he is going to be hobbled for quite some time, most likely observing now from a golf cart rather than doing the hands-on thing. And I was explaining, as Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, our Green and Gold Insider, comes into the studio, I was explaining, you're talking about him jogging past you on the street and heading over to the facility, the Hudson Center, jogging from Lambeau Field across the street, crossing with everybody else, and now you may see him in a car, but you may see him on a golf cart, too, being taken back and
forth. You know, what are you thinking, man? What do you think? You know, Patrick Mahomes was told by Andy Reid, hey, no basketball in the offseason, man.
Yeah.
It tears up ankles and knees. No basketball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever have an Achilles like that?
I never had an Achilles.
It'll wipe you out for a year.
I've broken each ankle twice, and I had a really high ankle sprain once.
When this is funny because I was just talking to my buddy from high school about this.
Yeah.
When this broke this morning, Pete Senesi was our running back and a great slot guy. When we played high school ball, he played a little college ball. He kept in great shape, and he was about 40 or so. He had an 11, 12-year-old son, Tyler, wanted to get into some football. Coach told him, hey, you're tall and skinny. You should probably go for a receiver. Pete was a little bit more medium size. So, Pete was still in pretty good shape. He was running, golfing, walked, didn't when he golfed. And so he's out. He takes the kid to a park, and he says, no. Here's how you got to plant your foot when you cut your routes. So he goes down and out, plants his foot. Bam, snap. There goes the Achilles. And that's where it's like, dude, you're 40. You don't do this anymore. Regardless of what kind of shape you're in, you don't do this anymore. This is, sort of the wake-up call. So, which also totally kills the premise of my first segment here today, because the thing that was standing out the most at OTA practices this week was standing out there, and now you got 11-on-11, and you got the new head coach, Matt LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers is now calling the play. He's got the first-team offense out there with him. He's got Devontae Adams back out there on the field with him. And the head coach takes his ear and dips it into the huddle. Wants to hear exactly how Aaron is calling it. They break. Then the head coach goes running across the line of scrimmage, turns around, lines up about where a safety would be, and breaks down, and he watches this play now develop, coming at him. And Jimmy Graham is one of three or four receivers that goes out. Jimmy goes down into the end zone, breaks along the back end of the end zone, and the ball's a little overthrown. So then LaFleur chases Jimmy Graham down, 32 years old, 9 years in the NFL, down to the corner of the end zone, goes, hey, wait, and makes the correction right there. I don't remember ever seeing an NFL head coach doing that. I mean, this is where they got 24 assistants out there.
Right.
NFL head coach or field generals out there with walkie-talkies. They stand behind the huddle, with two or three of their assistants around them and all that. But that's Matt LaFleur. And I posted that, and a lot of listeners were saying, great, good, detail-oriented. And here's the importance of the OTAs right now. I mean, you only get like 12 of them. Odell Beckham Jr. just signed up with the Browns. He showed up the first one. He's now missed 8 of them.
Yeah.
And they're not happy over there because, he's got to learn a new offense. And he's got to get these snaps in with Baker. I mean, you don't have that much time. You're 12 practices, 3 in the mandatory, then you're off 5 weeks, then it's training camp. They want you ready for training camp.
Yeah. Training camp is not where you learn. Training camp is where you accentuate what you know.
It's where you excel, is where you earn your job.
Yeah.
You should have it down.
But they're paying Odell. He's not going to worry about losing his job. He's just not going to be in the right place at the right time.
No, and he'll probably still catch, 10 passes and 150 yards in the season opener and one touchdown. But Nathaniel Hackett is your offensive coordinator. Worked at Syracuse, Buffalo Bills, and Jacksonville Jaguars under Doug Marrone. Doug took him to all those three jobs, then threw him under the bus last season when they were like 3-8 with the Jaguars.
Tossed him.
Yeah. So, Nathaniel, I'll tell you what, all these coaches, Bill, I'm feeling a lot better because this is like the second or third time we've talked to them. The first time they're all young and kind of deer in headlights. But now that these guys have been together now for two and a half months, they've been with the players. You can see they're getting into a little bit of a flow. So what are these quarterback room meetings like when you got Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, in there? You got Luke Getsy, the quarterback coach, in there. You got Aaron Rodgers in there. You got DeShone Kizer, Tim Boyle. You got number 18, Manny Wilkins, the kid that they signed from Arizona State. His top receiver was N'Keal Harry, who's the Patriots' first-round pick, wide receiver. He's pretty good. He can spin the ball. 6'2", 193 pounds. You got all these guys crowded in there. And Matt LaFleur is standing in there in every one of these quarterback meetings during these OTAs. We asked Nathaniel Hackett about that.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's been really good. It's one of those things. Obviously, Matt drives the whole boat, the offense that we're all coming together and putting together. I think it's coming along very well. And right now it's a fluid thing. And it's exciting to kind of see how it's going out there now that we get to practice after you have all that time meeting and talking about it. And then, just the meeting room. I mean, I've got so much respect for Luke and Matt and for all three of us to be in there. And, Matt and I bounce around a little bit to try to get around everybody, but I think it's really good. And I think the key thing is always going to be communication, and it's communication. As long as there's one voice, I think that's the key. And I think we're doing a really good job with that, and we just got to keep on rolling as we get to almost done with the off-season program here.
I like the fact that everybody at least – two things that you had said that stuck out to me, and I want to backtrack for just a minute. When you said Matt LaFleur are very detail-oriented, when you and I go to Super Bowl every year, and we've had more often than not our fair share of Patriot Super Bowls, and we do get a chance to talk to whomever representing the Patriots, whether it's a radio broadcaster or a former player or whatever, I always ask, you know, what makes Bill Belichick and that thing run the way it does? And they all say the same thing. It's not about doing one or two things and getting it done and then getting it on film and going and looking at it. It's about doing it over and over again and correcting it right then and there. That to me is encouraging when you said this is encouraging with what Matt LaFleur is doing. And then secondly, the fact that they are making sure that everybody is on the same page. There is no miscommunication. There's no, oh, we didn't know that, or I've got a different idea than the head coach or the coordinator or whatever. Two things are detail-oriented and making sure everybody's on the same page. I don't know if it's going to equate to wins, but at least to me, it's heading in the right direction.
Well, and the more you're around these players, too, the more you respect the process of what's going on. It's a whole new offense, and it doesn't get any easier for your offensive line that's been there anywhere from 4 to 7 years, or your quarterback who's been there for 13 years under Mike McCarthy. Whole new language, completely different. And Nathaniel Hackett says, yeah, you know, we've got a lot of things. We've got barriers we've got to bring down to install LaFleur's new offense.
It's funny when you put in a new system, especially with a group of guys that have been in the same system for so long, it's like you got to start from the very beginning, the foundation, the ground up. And I think that's been, you know, there's just so much that it's trying to get with the limited time that we have as much as we can get in by explaining it, not losing sight of some of that stuff in the beginning. So it's just, you know, how much can we throw at them and make sure that it sticks? So, I mean, there's so many things. It's like your time gets up and you're like, oh, my gosh, we got to go over even more. You want the quarterback, when he's out on that field, you want him to be able to anticipate the call before the calls even come in. I think that's huge. Right now, you don't have that necessarily that game plan mentality. So it's kind of, hey, this is the whole system and we're trying to work the plays. We're trying to work the communication through the quarterback to the line to the running backs to the wide receiver. So there's this huge big picture. So you're trying to get all those intricacies going throughout everything. But I think right now just watching those two guys get on the same page is so critical, because we want to be sure that Matt and Aaron, more than anybody, you know, they're thinking the exact same way.
Which that was Matt LaFleur's kind of his battle cry the minute he took over. When everybody's asking him, what are you going to do with Aaron Rodgers? That was the big thing, was we just got to get on the same page.
And he's walking the fine line of, I don't want to insult Aaron, but I want to let everybody know, Aaron, we're going to do it my way. You're not going to just run your own offense out
right
like you did the last 2 years. Nathaniel Hackett, his father, Paul Hackett, longtime college coach, a mentor to Mike McCarthy. I'm getting more and more impressed with how I see him during practice and how he's running things. And I'll tell you what, all those years with Edgar Bennett and Joel Philbin as offensive coordinator, I thought Hackett's explanation about what's it like now being an offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers when really the guy is the head coach and the play caller.
I'm kind of like the organizer and the one that's trying to bring everything together and make sure that when there is communication going on, that communication is effective. I think there's one thing when somebody talks and says, or another person asks a question, the key is once that communication goes on, was what we wanted to accomplish accomplished? So it's a great position for me to be able to sit back, watch the interaction, watch how everybody is, because obviously being in the shoes that Matt is from the play calling standpoint and putting a system in, you can say, hey, did he really get that? Or did they really hear that? So I think it just makes it more efficient to try to make it so that the process of understanding the system can get there much faster.
Oh, hey, play of the day.
Mm-hmm.
After 7-on-7, bunch of other drills, all of a sudden, break, here we go, 11-on-11, right? First play.
Yeah.
Play action, quarterback rollout, Marquez Valdes-Scantling with his 4-3 speed.
Yeah.
Burns down the field, takes a cut between the hashes, 45 yards downfield, Aaron Rodgers, pew, beats Darnell Savage, rookie safety.
Did he beat him bad?
By a step and a half.
Yeah.
Gone. gone.
Yeah.
And everybody like, hey, yeah. Hey.
Yeah. I'd like to see that there's play action because you didn't see a lot of that.
No.
Not a lot of that. I mean, they would run it with Brett Favre, who would do that really extended, you know, and then tuck the ball back in.
I tell you what, too, I can't get into detail, but I'll just get right to the point. Quick snaps, different formations, different motions.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching the Rams.
Yeah. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers, when he sells it, he's one of the best at play action. One of the best I've ever saw was Boomer Esiason, but Aaron Rodgers, when he sells it, he is a master at misdirection. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, and our friends over at Quick Trip want to remind you, if you're a professional driver out there, you need to get rewarded for filling up your tank with the new Quick Rewards fleet card from Quick Trip and Quick Star. You get points for every gallon. You can earn free fountain drinks, coffee, showers where the amenities are available just by filling up with 50 gallons or more of diesel, CNG, or DEF. It's easy. All you got to do is stop in, get the card, register it online. You start tracking your rewards. You are good to go. And today, a half dozen of the Glazer donuts, just $1.99 through June 6th. So stop in and load up on those things as well. If you're going to be doing some over the road, or you maybe just got a bunch of kids at the house and you want to get some donuts for breakfast rather than cooking, that's the way to do it. That's from our friends over there at Quick Trip. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio in studio, our Green and Gold Insider. We've got more right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, I got to be honest, I don't know the whole offense yet. You know, I've been studying it, but the difference between understanding it on paper and actually getting reps in it, not a great sample size to kind of tell you everything about the offense. Just, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to look different, I think, formationally and with the motions and some of the things that we're doing. But, you know, I think it's an offense that I can, you know, infuse creativity in and put my stamp on.
There you go. Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers talking about the upcoming season and the offense that he is going to be in charge of. And we are joined in studio by Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Aaron, optimistic. It sounds like he's got a little shot of rejuvenation. I mean, he always sounds good coming into camp, but it sounds this year like he's just got this wide open mind. He likes the challenge right now.
He's had a good offseason, too. Took a trip to Paris and, you know, he leads an interesting lifestyle. Lake Tahoe, golfing, all that
yeah.
stuff. Luke Getsy is the quarterback coach. Luke was a wide receivers coach at Green Bay about 4 or 5 years and then left when I think he smelled what the rock was cooking and took off and became an offensive coordinator for Mississippi State for a mm-hmm. former coach that he played for. Now he's back in Green Bay as the quarterback coach on his path to try and be an offensive coordinator, maybe a head coach someday. So you're talking to Luke, and you know Luke reminds me of kind of a Darrell Bevell type. I mean, just, you know, very easy going, you know, got a good temperament for the adversity of the NFL and dealing with, like, you know, Aaron and a guy that's so smart and got so much experience like Aaron, but also bringing up things to Aaron that, you know, that help him prepare. So what is it like being the quarterback coach when you've got your offensive coordinator in there, you got 4 or 5 other quarterbacks in there, and you got your head coach and Matt LaFleur sitting in all of your quarterback meetings so far?
Great conversation. That's what that room has been since we've all gotten together here. I mean, there has been conversation going on amongst everybody, and everyone kind of given, you know, how they view things. Matt leads the show, and that he kind of gets the conversation rolling, and then we all kind of give our viewpoints of stuff and how we see it, and we see how Aaron and those other guys are seeing it, and then we go from there. But it's been a lot of dialect. It's been really good. It's not just been a quiet room or someone standing in the front pointing the laser at the screen. It has been really interactive, and I think that's helped the process a lot. You know, just kind of, I mean, sometimes when something's new, it happened with me when as I was learning, if I didn't ask questions, I wouldn't, you know, I may paint the picture the wrong way. So we've been able to do that, you know, since these guys got back here in April.
Which Luke Getsy, qualified guy, but also a guy that was familiar with Aaron. So he's, I don't want to call him a buffer, but kind of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, you've got guys like Davante Adams vouching for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One new thing that you really pick up on with all of this new LaFleur coaching staff is just youth and energy. And it's the little things like these guys they're walking to practice. They're not driving in their trucks down McCarthy Way.
Mm-hmm.
that little street that they got to take to park into the coach's lot. They're walking across the street. They're jogging over to practice. They're on their feet. They're all in better shape than some of the typical, you know, 6'2", 275, 300-pound NFL coaches we've had on staffs in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And you just notice that. I told you this when Packers opened up against the Falcons for the season opener, and I went down to Atlanta a few days before the game, and I went to a couple of the Falcons' practice in Flowery Branch in northern Georgia, and Dan Quinn comes in. He'd been a defensive coordinator for Pete Carroll with the Seahawks, and then he comes in, and this coach, you know, he's got a baseball cap on. He's got a you know, tight shirt on. He's got fancy jogging pants. He's got one of those jogger's watches, tennis shoes, and it's like, this dude, you know, probably runs 5 miles a day. It's just a different vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't be more outgoing and welcoming into practice, you know, comes down and introduces you as a, hi, and you are, you know,
mm-hmm, right.
I'm Mike from Green Bay. I'm here to cover that. Oh, okay, great. So this is where Justin Uten comes from. He's a guy who played center for Syracuse, a high school offensive coordinator in Texas. He had a buddy that got him onto the Falcons staff as a quality control guy. He was an intern when LaFleur was there, and LaFleur, I think, was impressed by him. And this Justin Uten, who's your tight end coach, he's impressing me now on how he's taken over. I mean, imagine this guy. This is his first NFL official position coach job, and you got Jimmy Graham and 15 years of Mercedes Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, you got to bring up Robert Tonyan, you know,
right.
Raw, had a couple of flashes last year. I mean, like, there's nothing in between. On top of that, the tight end position overall has just underperformed the last several years. So that's what this guy is looking at. And then on top of that, we're out there at practice, and you've got your head coach now running down Jimmy Graham in the end zone and say, no, that's not the way you want to run this route. You want to go, you know, what do you think about that when your coach is out there running all over the field and talking to your guys on the field?
Yeah, I think Matt has, you know, getting into this profession, Matt is in this profession because he loves the game. And usually when you're a player and you go to being a coach and you have to deal with all the hours that you work earlier on in your career, you have to really love the game. And I think Matt has the same similarities as Q when it comes to just being around the guys. He loves coming to work, you know what I mean? And it didn't happen when he was a head coach. He did it when he was a, you know, at Atlanta as a position coach. So this has been in his career, and this has been something he's been doing his whole life. So now it's just, you know, he's in a bigger spotlight, and I think more people are seeing it now. But, you know, Q has rubbed off on everybody that he's been around because of the positivity part of it, the competition part of it, and it's a lot of credit to him.
Q is what he means by Dan Quinn
right.
in Atlanta.
Yeah. When you, because you're working with young guys, and then you've got, like you had mentioned, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis. You're working with these older guys. They do things a certain way. So I guess the question then becomes, how have they? I mean, because as much as you want to worry about Aaron Rodgers, the other veterans have to take to the playbook as well.
There's a lot of dialogue going on between player and coaches, veteran players, and this young coaching staff so far during these OTAs and these workouts. A lot of it, I'm assuming, from what I can tell from 30 yards away, is it's a new offense, and there's a lot of questions. But there's also a lot of this getting to know each other between the position coach and the position players. And you'll see David Bakhtiari, you know, talk to Luke Butkus, the assistant line coach, say, no, shouldn't we think about this? Because if the running back's going to go out there, then my first step should be this instead of that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of that going back and forth, give and take, you know. They're raising a lot of questions out there in the field, but they're engaged. And so you ask the tight end coach, this Justin Uten, you know, how are Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis? I mean, Mercedes Lewis could coach tight ends tomorrow with all the experience he's got and the different tools he's got in his bag when it comes to getting things done out in the field. And here's what Justin said.
I mean, they've been very acceptant to everything as far as the coaching side of it. The impressive part is to see Mercedes and Jimmy, you know, talk to the younger guys on the side at practice. In the meeting room, they're going to give their 2 cents on some things that may have given them an issue early on in their career. They've been really willing to help those guys. Talking to Mercedes and Jimmy, they've been very professional as far as the change. They understand that they're seeing more of the field. They're being asked, you know, to step up in certain roles that they –
may not have been in the last couple of years. And then it's exciting for them because I think it's a new leaf for them.
Let's do this. We want to take a quick break, finish up. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Mike Clemens in studio joining us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I know we're going to enjoy a few of those this upcoming weekend. It's warm night tonight, that's for sure. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The emphasis was more on the red zone. So, there was a lot of throwing in our periods today. I've told you guys before, I'd like to be as balanced as possible. But, once you get down there, especially when you don't have pads on, running the ball kind of defeats the purpose a little bit in practice. We're still going to get them in because you got to make the defense honor the run. But, we just threw a bunch of concepts out there and trying to see what our guys can best do. So there was a lot of learning that took place this morning. It was the first time they've heard a lot of these plays in the in the red zone install, but I thought our guys, for the most part, handled it pretty well.
There you go. Mike Clemens joining us here in studio. We're talking Packers, our Green and Gold insider joining us here. So kind of the remaining takeaways from camp and what's going on up at OTAs?
Yeah, the thing is that the practice we had the other day, it's like it was all pass plays, no running plays. And, hey, wait a minute, we thought you were supposed to be the running team. He's like, mm-hmm. Well, we're in the red zone, man. It's useless to have five-yard running plays with no pads. We're not going to learn anything. And we're trying to get these installs done, at least in the passing game now. And obviously, they'll do more of it when they have helmets and shoulder pads in training camp for the running backs. So then that takes us to the wide receivers. And again, it's another one of these coaches, Alvis Whitted, NFL, played 9 seasons, Jags, Falcons, and Raiders. He's one of these speed guys but that lasted in the NFL. So many times the NFL will draft guys with 4.3 speed, but they really can't catch the football. But he had a pretty... Yeah, it's a sustained a career. And, Alvis Whitted also, he had speed. He could run the 100 meters in 10.02 seconds. He once was up against Carl Lewis for the U.S. Olympic trials. Came in the top 5 back in 1996. So this guy knows something about speed. And he's also knows something about, playing with quarterbacks that are really got their head in the game, like Rich Gannon, Mark Brunell, Kerry Collins. He caught passes from all those guys. So we asked him about trying to get Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore to the next level in their second year. How do you go about that?
That's a good question. And the one thing is trust. Obviously quarterbacks, they expect us to be at a certain area in a certain spot when they get out of their drop, when their ball is out of their hands. And for me, I know that, like you talked about Rich Gannon, Mark Brunell, those guys, they were true students of the game, just like Aaron is, and they studied the game. And so it's important that those younger guys, they become students of the game as well, and not just know, hey, this is the route that I have, but what are the other parts of it, and how does it all come into play? And so I think that this offense is tailored that you have to be able to learn all of these concepts and not just one piece of the puzzle. You have to be able to know all spots. And I think that's what's enhancing our knowledge as a group. I think that these guys actually have to learn concepts and formations, and they have to be on point with them. And if they do know that, then they'll earn the trust of Aaron and vice versa. And so that's truly where we're trying to get to. And it's not a overnight process. It's going to take time, and that's the beauty of it. Small wins, just making those short strides every day. And that's what I see us being.
That's the biggest thing that we didn't see last year was Aaron trusting his guys to be at the right spot at the right time. If they're going through attention to detail now and they're in the right spot at the right time, that's something that we can also see
grow. I'm impressed with Alvis just in 2 months now working with Devontae and with that group and where his confidence is in his role, even though he's been coaching in Colorado the last 6 or 7 years with college kids. So now you get to running back. And the one guy who kept his job from the McCarthy regime was Ben Sermons, the running back coach, because, the Packers thought, hey, he did a pretty good job with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams.
Oh, God, yeah, they were a bright spot.
Yeah, and now you got Dexter Williams, and you're drafted from Notre Dame. But now you have to go to this outside zone scheme. What does that mean for the running back, Ben Sermons?
Well, he has a aim point. So the first thing that he's going to do is he's got to chase his aim point. If that hole, let's say it's the D gap. All right. So if the D gap is closed off, then you get your eyes to the C gap. If the C gap is open, you take it. If it's closed off, your eyes should go to the B gap and to the A gap and so forth. So an outside zone scheme, that's really the process of how it works. Now, the big deal about it is you got to make sure that you press it as much as possible, like to the heels of the lineman or the tight end, because that's what's going to create the flow in the defense. If you cut it back too soon, then usually you're not helping your guys up front. The linebackers, those guys can fall back and make a play. So that's why I say it's more about not as much vision as about as much as it is about discipline and understand the process of how the scheme works.
At least it's heading in the right direction, we feel.
Hey, Aaron Jones, by the way, who says hello to the big unit. He says, it's all good. He says, no, I love this. He says, because if we get the blocking, I get outside to the sideline, I take less hits up the middle. Are you kidding me? I'm not so banged up after the game.
He's quick enough to do it, too.
Yeah.
He's quick enough to do it. And he came into camp a little bit bigger, too.
Right.
We saw him at Super Bowl. He was getting big. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Michael. Appreciate it, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great weekend. To all of you, have a great weekend as well. Brewers coming up a little bit later on tonight. Ulysse Chassin trying to get himself right back on the hill this evening for the crew. We'll be back to break down the entire weekend come Monday. Until then, have a go.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.